Pressure is building for a royal commission into the government's botched robo-debt scheme, which has sparked a record class action settlement of $1.2 billion. 430,000 welfare recipients wrongly accused of misreporting their income will be compensated and refunded all the money they'd paid to Centrelink. Green Senator Rachel Seward has chaired two inquiries into robo-debt, and she joins us very early from Perth. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Geraldine.
The payout is an eye-watering $1.2 billion, Senator Seward, but will that money, in your view, repair all the hurt and the hardship caused by that computerised income averaging, which was at the heart of the scheme?
No, I don't think so. I think that people are very, very pleased that the money is being repaid, the money they pay for non-existent debts. They're very pleased, but it can't repay the amount of trauma that has caused people and the way people's lives have been so deeply affected by it. They've been turned upside down. Some have been torn apart. We know that some people were so traumatised that it contributed to them taking their lives, which is just outrageous and an awful tragedy.
I think you've said that I've read that around 2,030 people have died after receiving a robo-debt notice, or of which a third were considered vulnerable by the department, although the government has denied there was any connection. But are those numbers roughly reasonable as far as you're concerned?
That was from a couple of years ago when we got that data. That is the people that have passed away who had got a notice. Now, we have no way of knowing were specific link. We know that some were because we've had evidence from their families. And so we don't know, and I quite frankly don't think we'll ever truly know.
Can you clarify who will be eligible for compensation? Will those people who paid money back, for instance, to the government be eligible? Because it's a little bit, there are different groups in this, when you read closely in this payout.
So those people that debt was calculated on income, averaging income, if people's debt was calculated using payslips or bank payments, it's my understanding that they won't be. It's also important to note that many people have already received a payment back. We established that in estimates so that those that had the $721 million, most of that, or that has been repaid already. There'll be others that won't continue to be chased. There's a number of people chased for the debt. There's a number of people that the department hasn't been able to contact yet. And I think some of those are those that are no longer on income support. A lot of people just thought the government is right. They didn't challenge it because they just thought, the government knows, so they'll repay it. Or it was a relatively small amount and people just wanted to get rid of it. Now, those people are owed money. And so if you did repay a debt that you thought that you owed but was an illegal debt and you haven't been in contact with the government, reach out to the government because there are still people they haven't been able to contact.
How do they reach out to the government?
So if they go into MyGov, onto their MyGov site, that'll probably be the easiest thing, or give Centrelink a ring if they're not using their MyGov account. But it's important here to note that there's still debts that the government's chasing that they have now agreed to drop. And there's also, of course, the $112 million for compensation, which goes no way to compensate for trauma that has been caused by this.
Is that about $300 a person?
Yes, it's people have been calculating at about $280. I understand from what I've seen in the media that there's going to be some sort of formula that will probably be applied for the amount that people get related to how long they've been on, how long ago the debt was, those sorts of things. But that's not known at the moment.
You've been on this from the very start. What are the What have you taken away? I wonder if there's any particular cases that you have really affected you as a parliamentarian.
There were so many, but seeing an aged pensioner who gave us evidence during the first inquiry, just in absolute tears, saying, "I'm not a cheat. I'm not a cheat. They think I'm cheated them. I didn't cheat them." She was just devastated. She'd been working all her life, and then had received this robo debt. People on a disability support pension who were chased. Same thing. Oh, we didn't cheat. We did the right thing. Young people who just report, you know, thought they or had been doing the right thing and felt like they've been accused of cheating. People felt shame. They felt they were being unfairly picked on. The rage that people felt for being called a cheat, being unable to convince the department that they didn't owe, that they'd done the right things. People just said, "We reported our income. We did the right thing."
Bill Shorten has described robo-debt as the greatest social security scandal in the country's history. There were five ministers at least involved with the scheme. Who is ultimately to blame in your view?
Well, I think it was the responsibility of the ministers and the Prime Minister. They have overseen a scheme that is illegal. They were asked so many times. It's not as if it all went along and the community weren't challenging it, that we weren't challenging it in the parliament, that lawyers weren't challenging it.
How early, can I just ask you to clarify there, how early did that start to happen?
So it started to happen just after the first series of debt notices came out in this particular process, where they went to the automated process at scale, was at the beginning of the financial year in 2016, and it really became prominent towards the end of that year when the massive amount of debt notices started going out.
Right.
And it was just before Christmas, if people remember. Happy Christmas, folks. You know, the people that got them, they got these debts, massive letters, or these letters for massive debts for, in some cases, thousands of dollars, in some cases, you know, over $10,000 just before Christmas and going into the new year.
See, the government defends the scheme, even now, I think, on the basis that income averaging, which is what is at the base of this, has been used for decades, stretching right back to the Hawke-Keating years. Did the real problem, Rachel Seawood, kick in when the process was automated? Is that it? And that was
yes.
Treasurer Scott Morrison was in charge then.
Yes, that's right. So you've got a process that used to be income averaging has, you know, we know it's unlawful, but there'd been a human in place before that that would then go and check, for example, if that kicked up an issue, a person would go and then check with the employer in many cases to see if that was. Yeah, if people were working, because income averaging just doesn't make sense. It just assumes you were working across the whole time. So that's when the real problem started, and when they started doing it at such scale, they went from, you know, around 20,000 at the time per year doing that to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of letters going out via the online system.
All right. Well, look, we'll leave it there, but it's good that it's got to this point. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Senator Rachel Seawood, very early in WA, and we did approach the Minister responsible, Stuart Robert. He was unavailable. And if this interview's raised any issues for you, do feel free to call Lifeline 13 11 14.